Today we talk about Volta, New York, and the Fountain Art Fair. New mediator is go. Today's episode, we're going to be talking about the Volta Art Fair and the Fountain Art Fair in New York City. It was Armory Art Weekend. However, I didn't get it over to the Armory. I just couldn't bring myself to trek all the way out to the West Side Highway. But I had a really great time at both fairs. I actually won VIP passes from a curatorial website called Welcome to Company. That's the only plug I think I'm going to have in the whole show about them. And I guess there'll be a link to them in the show notes at newmediator.org. Volta and Fountain Art, the Volta and Fountain were totally different shows. Well, I guess not totally different shows, were, I thought, markedly different shows. Fountain is a little bit more independent, it's a little bit more artist-based. I spent a little bit more time at Fountain because it was just easier to strike up a conversation in my mind with fellow artists. Volta is totally... it's definitely the gallerist set. It is curators and gallerists and managers and marketers and movers and shakers, people who are actually handling the money, not necessarily creating the artwork. And then there's a couple other differences too. There was a lot of stuff at Fountain Art Fair that was being given out by artists, and then Volta had this weird thing where you got an envelope. Well, you had to deal with a very sassy British guy, and then he gave you an envelope, and you had to pick a piece of paper from each booth to fill in your own quote-unquote, I guess, gallery guide or booth guide. And all of them were in black and white, and everything was printed the exact same way. To me, it seemed odd. Why couldn't you just get a staple and put this stuff all together instead of making me... collect everything like these are Pokemon cards. I'm a grown-ass man. Come on, what's up with that? Although I have to say I was very all about it at the time. In hindsight, it's a little weird. The Fountain Art Fair had a little booklet for adults. But that's enough about that. The first two pieces I want to talk about are two pieces at Volta. I didn't really actually record anything about. It was just kind of noisy by those two pieces. And there were a lot of people speaking different languages that I thought would make it confusing for you to actually understand the recording. So the first is Andreas Johansson from Gallery Flock in Stockholm had these amazing kind of like graffiti, I want to call them graffiti pop-up books, almost that these industrial spaces that were basically I guess picked at probably somewhere in Sweden. And the idea is that there's these landscapes that pop up every time you flip the page, and there seemed to be kind of like urban decay involved in each one of them. Really kind of struck me. The pieces themselves weren't as interesting. The best part, and I kind of wish I caught this on video, and I'll try and put a link up to this in the show notes at newmediator.org, is just watching the book actually. I don't even know if it was actually a book and they were all just in an edition together. Just watching all of them move, going from basically from flat to three-dimension, I thought was totally, totally mesmerizing. And the other piece, I guess, I neglected to talk about on the day of was the Carl Emanuel Wolf installation. Schwab? Oh, man, I'm so bad at pronouncing all this stuff. If it's not a romance language, I really have no idea how to pronounce anything. But Carl Emanuel Wolf does these, I guess, they're like M80 firecracker sculptures in steel. They're basically, they look like... people, if you are not listening to the Enhanced podcast, there's a photo on the Enhanced podcast of all the pieces, at least some work that I find that is going to be at least indicative of the work. It kind of looks like Nick Cave, but with just fireworks. These are not suits, obviously. They're freestanding sculptures. It's a little gimmicky, I will admit. The idea of using explosives to build something. Building that tension, literally, the tension, I guess, Renaissance artists are trying to build into their metal, marble sculptures, and actually building that tension by using explosives. Maybe it's gimmicky, but I thought the work was really cool, really strong, and I was totally struck by it. So if it's, I guess sometimes the gimmicks can work.
So I just got a chance to sit down here at Volta, and I just want to go through a couple things before I lose my impression. I decided to sit down in the cafe because, I don't know, there's something about... art fairs that are like eternally awkward. I'm not someone who probably could afford to buy art. I guess, of course, there was one gallerist who was really interested in talking to me. But that's because she's from Philadelphia, and I guess the city of brotherly love, they're just more friendly. I don't know. Philadelphia's always seemed a little bit more, the art world seems a little bit more friendly. Mark Kazeman, at the Pentimenti Gallery in Philadelphia, it's these really kind of interesting packing tape on light box sculptures. There are these, kind of like these collages where basically the artist Mark is able to build like stills from movies and images of antique furniture, like to his shocking realism using just one or two colors of packing tape, just basically building the layers over and over and over again. It's actually what I like about them is because there's you can still see some of the tape. It feels less fussy than a work like that should. It kind of feels kind of fun, especially the antique chair, which is the one that really struck me. You could actually see the wrinkles in the tape he used to like scrunch it up. There wasn't a lot of cutting, and using smaller pieces.
And that light brown packing tape really kind of fits in with the movie images. It really has a sepia kind of feel. I don't know if these movies are from are old American movies. I know the artist is Ukrainian born, so maybe they're old Soviet movies, but who knows? But they're just, it really, the medium really works with the actual subject matter really well.
The Samson Projects, or Samson in Boston, was showing Matt Rich's work. I'm not familiar with this artist. I used to go to this gallery a lot when we lived in Boston. I'm really a big fan of Rune Olsen because he also showed at a gallery I used to work at. But Matt Rich's work is all this paint on paper, paintings on paper, basically cut geometric shapes, kind of playing with layers and colors and the actual, you know, with painting for painting for painters. I really like them a lot. I thought the colors were vibrant, and I don't know, I'm partial to paper, so I thought it was really beautiful, and so we'll see how I'm going to try and get some images of that. I'm assuming Samson Projects has some images of him on the website, or I'll just have to Google some of them and throw them in the podcast so that everybody can see it. But it's amazing how flat the work was, but still very, very, very vibrant. I'm going to talk about some other pieces. Ed Pine or Pine. I didn't actually talk to this gallery. It's a gallery in Montreal, called Art Contemporain. See, this is why I need my wife to pronounce everything in French for me. Just these interesting paintings, but I think what was really struck, he had this reflective, it was called 3M reflective paper, and he did this kind of, it was called Medusa. It looked kind of like a tree pattern, or basically like a neurological pattern. It was both beautiful and totally and utterly disorienting. After a while, I had to stop looking at it because of my reflection, the way it reflected back, which is kind of freaking me the hell out. And I didn't want to fall down and possibly fall into the piece. But it was really, I thought it was interesting. I don't know, cut paper work has a tendency to play with the shadows behind, but using the reflective paper also played with some of my own shadows in front in a way that was really kind of mesmerizing and interesting. And then right by there, Kirsten Deschrel, I'm not really sure, Deschrel? I'm going to put all this in the show notes, hopefully. From Vane Gallery in Newcastle upon Tyne, you know, in the UK. These paintings that are really interesting, a little fussy, but I think that's what I liked about them. A lot of, I think there were a lot of images, I guess, what looked like teenagers in love, quote unquote, in different sexual positions doing sexual acts, which I thought were interesting, but didn't really strike me as much as these giant still lifes she had of just a bunch of stuff stacked up, and just the use of color was really interesting. The use of space was really interesting. I really, really, really enjoyed those pieces. Just looking at them, seeing the different boxes. I don't really know exactly what kind of paint it was. It just said paint, I think. But it kind of felt like a giant watercolor painting. It was kind of delicate in a way, and I really enjoyed that. I just there was something about the way all the boxes looked and the different labels, and I don't know if the artist is German. There's a lot of writing in German, which I think is this art world trend. It's not a trend. It's an art world thing, meme, that somehow things are more arty if they have text in a language that's not English in them. I don't know. I find that often that for some reason I hold things in a language that I can't actually read in higher regard than actual work in English. I'm popping a little bit.
Or maybe more accurately, it's just any text in an artwork in German is automatically, you know, that much more erudite and arty than anything else. So the last piece I guess I'm going to talk about before we end up leaving the Volta Art Fair is the Gallery Kleindienstens booth from Leipzig, and the work by Jens Schubert is some of the most amazing print work that I'd seen in a while. I'm not necessarily in editions. All of the work is definitely one of a kind, but the colors were really striking. You can actually see, if you're looking at the Enhanced podcast, there's actually a photograph of the card. It was really a really interesting piece. The all of the work had a lot of different colors. It was some kind of abstract use of kind of like almost mixed up pop images. A lot of like fantasy landscapes and too, and basically the thing I think that I found the most striking was all the layering of all of the linoleum cut prints on top of each other, and it just so there's this one piece, I actually don't have a photo of it, it was like a mountain, basically like a mountainscape, and the mountains were actually on top of each other, and it really kind of built a lot of depth into a piece that was definitely very flat. And maybe the thing that also struck me so much about this whole thing was when you went into the booth, and it, just like in the image in the postcard I got, the whole floor was laid out with the linoleum cuts that you could actually walk on that were all inked up. I guess I'm not sure if they were actually used in the printing. It most likely, I don't know why else you'd have all that linoleum unless you're actually using it for printing and stuff, but it was really amazing. And what was extra amazing about this, when I love this booth so much, I actually came back a second time, and when I came back the second time, I bumped into two art stars, Libby and Roberta from the Art Blog. If you don't listen to their podcast, it's a really interesting podcast, mostly centered around the Philadelphia art scene, contemporary art, curation, and different projects, and talks with artists. I mean, they're definitely art critics who kind of deal with the art world in general. I'm a huge fan of the podcast, and the blog they do is actually, it's I think it's one of the more, they're like the OGs of art blogging, and they're based in Philadelphia, and very, very nice ladies who are very willing to talk to me more than I probably deserve. But it was just, it was a really just a an amazing booth, and we talked about it for a while and talked about the show in general. And unfortunately, I didn't get any of that on tape because I was starstruck and I'm an idiot. But what are you gonna do?
All right, so we just left Volta. I'm actually on the streets in New York because I was turned away when I got the fountain. I didn't realize the place opened at 1. But that's kind of how things go, you know, unprepared, and then go in and just kind of pretend like you know what's going on. So right now, I guess we're deep in the Fountain Art Fair, and I've already talked to a few artists. Fountain is a total different feel than Volta. Fountain is totally emerging galleries, emerging artists. It more feels like people who are in the trenches of the art world trying to make it. A lot of Brooklyn, non-Chelsea-based galleries. Brooklyn, New York. Manhattan. I was in New York for Manhattan. But I don't know why I'm tripping over words. So I saw some really interesting stuff. One artist, Dom Porcello, is doing these amazing 3D sculptures using pipe cleaners, which sounds much more boring than they actually are. They're really super playful, kind of pop arty. They don't totally look like pipe cleaners from ahead, and I'm going to try and get some images to show you as well. But I love the intricacy of the kind of like this kitsch material, and the work is really super playful and fun to look at. You really kind of want to touch them, although I did my best not to. And Don was actually sitting at the space, so I got to talk to him a little bit about his process and his work. The three pieces that really kind of struck me here, he made some ready-mades. He actually built a fountain, which is the namesake, I guess, of this fair, Duchamp's Art Mutt fountain. Damien Hirst's diamond skull and a Warhol Brillo box. And they're just really fun and playful to look at. They kind of look like felted. They kind of look like felted sculptures from far away.
Don was actually there with his wife, Ginger, who run, or I guess ran this, quote unquote, the booth called Big Deal Arts. It's an art services company that she runs, which she represents and does a lot of stuff for artists and galleries. However, if you are really interested in seeing Don's work, I really recommend you see it if you're in the New York City area. He is currently showing at the Museum of Arts and Design in New York through the 25th. And there's a link to his website, and there's been a link to all these artists' websites. Every website that I could find is going to be linked over at newmediator.org.
And another artist, a New York-based artist I bumped into, Sergio Coyote, did these amazing kind of ethereal, I guess graffiti-esque paintings. I'm going to probably have to show you images of these only because my description is going to pale in comparison to the actual work. He's based in kind of like this New York, Boston-based collective, and the work was really super strong. And of course, the Bushwick Gallery is also here. I saw some of Julie Torres's work, someone I've been following for a while, I guess, on Facebook and Twitter. She's showing mostly what looks like to me oil paintings. I'm more familiar with her her watercolor work, but it was really interesting. And I'm going to try and get a couple artists and people on tape or on SD card to see how it goes.
That's actually a lie. I didn't get a single artist, I don't think, on tape. Everyone seemed really into the idea of being recorded, but then totally clammed up when we actually talked and got nervous. So I just ended up turning off the recorder. I did spend a lot of time at the Bushwick Gallery booth because I've been following, I guess, through Julie Torres's the stuff on Facebook and whatnot, a lot of the work on there. Although I had not... I spent some time talking to Katerina Hibernova. She actually didn't tell me her last name. She's the director, and we were talking about the different artists. And I had actually never seen Ken Kosas's work. I actually don't know how to say his last name, Ken's last name. And it was a mixture of like these pop culture collages. Some of his work was pop culture collages, and some of his works were like maps from late 90s, early 90s video games, like Super Nintendo kind of... time. The work was totally awesome. I mean, some of his paintings are actually of, I know for a fact, of Super Mario 3, but some of them are just kind of like amalgams of ideas and different games and stuff. But it's the work I thought was really kind of fun. And for me, especially because I'm working a lot of pop culture and pulp into my own drawings lately, it was just nice seeing someone who's doing kind of what I'm doing, but actually a little bit better at it than I am. And I spend a lot of time, and it was actually funny because I internet know Julie, so I thought like, oh, I would come back and talk to her at least, because I've been talking about her work, and we've been emailing back and forth on occasion. However, I think I went back twice and she wasn't there either time. I ended up bailing. I know she came back later, but yeah, if you are not following the Bushwick Gallery, you're doing yourself a disservice. And it's all online, there's no space, so you're literally getting the full effect when you're going to their website, so definitely check that space out. I also spent some time speaking with Beacon area artist Michael X. Rose from Wallkill, New York. It's Beacon, I think it's like kind of near the Dia Beacon. It's I always think of it as upstate New York, although it isn't really all that far up. He did these really kind of amazing, they're kind of pop arty too. They have a little bit more to do with violence and history. Michael's work is a little bit of a mixture of kind of like well-informed folk art and pictorial history. I actually picked up, he was selling for a real small amount, it was like $5, The Illustrated History of Satanic Deception. I really should get an image of this up for the podcast. The work is it's really cool. All the paintings are really great, and it's actually the story goes that is Michael had a friend who was a historian who was studying the role of how do I say this? The occult and kind of evil, I guess, in history, and how the church used exorcism. It's a little tongue in cheek, but the paintings are really fun to look at, and I will definitely they are definitely informed by art history. I can even just look at some of the angels and some of the characters depicted are really. It looks almost like it was taken straight off the walls of like an early Christian church. It's pretty neat. I'll definitely put up some links to that, and I definitely am excited to end with a gallery that's close to my heart. Well, I guess more it's close to where I live. The Solos Project House is probably the only commercial gallery in Newark, New Jersey, probably the largest city in New Jersey. And it's not just a gallery. It's kind of like a commercial residency for artists. There's a set amount of spaces, and artists will come in and work in those spaces and kind of do projects with the Project House. They've been doing a lot of interesting work, and one of the artists is actually someone I've been following for a while, Christine Wagner, who's also one of the brains behind the Guerrilla Galleries, I guess, project or arts companies in Newark. They do a lot of shows. They actually don't. The Guerrilla Galleries people don't really have a space. They more do projects and events all over Newark. And she's a very talented artist who's shown at the One Gallery, which is right outside the Broad Street, the Penn Station in Newark. But the Solos Project House, some of the work there was absolutely amazing. The level of painting and sculpture is, I hate to say it, but it's you'd be surprised that this stuff came out of an area like New Jersey. It's not the work you would typically expect. Some of it was real challenging. Some of it was New Jersey based, because they're, you know, being from here, there's a little bit of a chip on your shoulder being the sub-city that you basically spit on New York, and basically New York wouldn't even think to spit on you. But no, the work was really strong, and I spoke with a little bit with I actually don't know the name of the woman I spoke to, who's the one of the founder. It's basically her space. I'm just talking about how everything was going, and it was a lot of the work there. It just was it was really great, and seeing like a gallery that I you know, I've actually been to this Project House a few times, so it was really great to see them. And I guess I'll say, like, although I really really enjoyed going to Volta, and I definitely thought it was interesting, and I definitely it definitely feels like it's trying to compete with the Armory Show, and I felt like Fountain Art Fair. Although, look, I got turned away. They opened a little late. It was a little disorganized at first. I mean, whatever. And I don't want to say it felt a little DIY, because it was definitely professional. But I definitely felt like there was a less it was less uppity. Is not the right word. It's uppity. Probably sounds mildly racist. It was a little bit more relaxed in conversation. And a lot of the artists were there. A lot of the people exhibiting were the artists, or they ran smaller gallery spaces. It was a much better feel. I spent a lot more time there, and a lot more interesting conversations at the Fountain Art Fair. And I found the work there to be striking, different, and definitely newer than the work I saw at Volta. I think both fairs definitely have their place. Just completely, in my mind, totally, totally different animals. But yeah, it was so great. I have to thank again. Welcome to Company for making me a VIP. And I'm actually still wearing my bracelet, because I will never feel this good again. And I just want to savor it a little bit longer. If this is your first time listening, you can follow us at newmediator.org. You can find us on iTunes. You can search for Dave Lamorte. It's probably Google's probably the easiest way to find me. I'm on basically every social network ever. It's a compulsion I have. And that's pretty much it. If you have any comments, questions, concerns, you want to tell me how horrible I sound and how much you hate me, you can leave a comment at newmediator.org. I only get rid of spam. If the comment's negative, whatever. I'd love to hear it. I'd like to make this thing as good as possible. Or you can email me, DaveLamorte@gmail.com. And that's pretty much it. Thank you very much. And please stay subscribed.